In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, Ed Norris is out on medical leave. Joe's back. He looks to be happy to be back, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Thrilled.
So happy. By the way, did you talk to Ed?
No.
I did.
Oh, yeah, I did Friday.
Yeah. It went in for a circular incision, came out with a circumcision. Now he's all balls like me, so it's just going to be tough.
How long did you prepare for that one?
That one just came to my mind when I was walking in.
Circular incision. Down a circumcision.
I think that was from an old Married with Children. Nah, but hopefully he's doing all right, man. He's back to back. So anyway, it's interesting, though. Like, you and I were just shooting the breeze here in the commercial break. You had a long weekend, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was fun, too, because I was telling somebody else, with all the complaining before last night game started, you had a chance to go 3-1 against the hottest team, but you split with them, and I know that doesn't make people happy.
See, I feel different about this split than I did the Boston split.
Okay.
I didn't like the Boston split. I think you should have taken 3 out of 4 against Boston. This one, I went into thinking, if we can split with Houston, it'd be good luck. Now, I think, the Orioles were a game and a half back when they went into the series?
Especially their
rotation. Now they're a game and a half back still.
Yeah, especially when their rotation set up the way it did. They had all their frontline pitchers.
Yeah, though. So I went into this thinking.
Except for Verlander, who just got back.
If we could split this, it'd be good. Losing it, not good. Getting swept, definitely. And I think everybody after Thursday thought, oh, it's going to be a sweep.
Yeah.
We'll talk some more Orioles baseball. Preseason football over.
Thank God.
Whoa, that was rough. That was rough, man.
Well, it looks like around the league, I mean, a handful of teams played some of their guys, but it looks like the thing moving forward is that they're just going to bench a lot of their star players because everybody's so scared they get hurt.
When are they just going to stop this? Just stop it.
Well, I think the problem is that you look at the way that ticket sales go and how everything's set up. They would like to turn those preseason games into regular season games, which eventually we're going to get to 18, and maybe they have one preseason game where you can evaluate some of your younger guys. But, like, that's all this is now. It's not about – we know the guys that are going to be on the roster and where they're going to play. And people are like, you got to get those reps. You can get those reps in practice, man.
Like I said to you before, if you have a joint practice, controlled scrimmage is what we used to call them, at M&T Bank Stadium, you don't think people are going to buy tickets for that, to see that?
Because
you get to see the inside, behind-the-scenes stuff. You see multiple people working out at one time on different sides of the field, and bam, you scrimmage one another. People would buy that. People would pay for that because they're not being told it's a game.
People now go to practice, Rob, and they don't know what they're going to see. And you might get out there and see a special teams practice, and it'll be packed. Everybody will be watching them punt over and over again.
I'm more inclined to buy a ticket for that, Jeremy, than I am for this preseason game. It's not a game.
I just think you get more out of that, too.
I do.
Like, so if you were a coach and you could say, I don't know about you, you've had if you had scrimmages against other teams or combined practices.
I hate scrimmages.
Okay.
I said you were out when I said this before. I hate scrimmages. I don't like scrimmaging, and when I scrimmage, I don't like scrimmaging at home.
Yeah. Well, so the other thing that I would do is, like, whenever I would set up a scrimmage, and it's the same thing, depending on who you can get to come to you, you go to them. It's like, okay, what do you want to see us run? You know, do you want us to, because like I teach my kids everything, but we're going to specialize in two things, man and some sort of zone, depending on which team we're going to go to. So like, you know, it's just a matter of, hey, can you set up in your press? Yeah. Hey, can we see a 1-3-1?
Control scrimmage.
Yes.
I love those. We call them dark practices. You don't allow anybody in the gym. You don't have referees. It's just two coaches and it's two teams. They're two teams. And we're actually setting each other up in different positions. You do it all the time on AAU.
Yep.
All the time. You're setting up things that you want to see. Hey, coach, can we see the trap? I had one guy, and this is what I got. I stole it from him when I first started doing AAU. He said, could you put six defenders on the floor, double team my point guard until she gets across half court? And he basically wanted everybody guarded and for her to have to beat the trap by herself. Now, he would tell her in game situations, then he went back over to 5-5-on-5, he wanted her to look to pass out of it. He did that in a situation where she could not pass out of it, how to beat it. So, you uncover, you go over every possible scenario. And I think you do better than that within the NFL. Go over everything. I want Lamar rolling to his left with a defender chasing him and have to hit on the sideline. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can create that.
See, and like the same thing you're talking about, what I would do is so we could get some good gym time and have other people's equipment. You know, like we didn't have now the organization we were with has shooting machines and everything. Mm-hmm. But I would go scrimmage older girls teams knowing that maybe we don't get as much out of it. And honestly, we got our brains beaten in one time, mm-hmm. because you don't realize the maturity level of when you have, you know, seventh graders playing against high school girls and what happens. They were shell shocked, but it gave me access to all the equipment they had. It let me, you know, they let me come up and use the gym. And there's like some quid pro quo stuff that goes on, but I would scrimmage younger travel teams.
Yeah.
And then I'd get some of their gym time. So it was just for me, it was always about getting gym time for the kids and keep them playing. But, you know, it's the same thing here. You want to see these, you don't want anybody to get hurt. In football, you're going to have more guys get hurt for various reasons. And then now you kind of shut it down. I just wish they'd go to it because this preseason was awful. Just awful.
I got nothing out of it.
No.
Absolutely nothing out of it. Boy, you know what I got a lot out of those this weekend? College football, man.
Did you?
Did I what?
So first off, the Georgia Tech game was great. We talked about that on Friday.
And that's going to be what's trending at 7 o'clock.
And I just still can't believe, I don't know how many people are just following college football and diving in. We get week one this week. That was week zero, where there was essentially four games. I mean, there's more than that, but four games that you're going to pay attention to.
Montana State and New Mexico.
Yeah.
I was shocked that Montana State beat New Mexico.
Well, they were, so New Mexico's in a rebuild too, but Montana State was favored over them.
Really?
Yeah. Like 13.5 points.
SMU beat Nevada.
And SMU was a 27-point favorite. Nevada is in a total rebuild, shutdown. And then SMU benched the quarterback they got in the transfer three series in and then brought him back, and then they barely won.
And Hawaii beat Delaware State.
Yeah.
You hear that, Zach? Your Hornets got beat.
So how do you feel about this? Hawaii played at midnight on Saturday, week zero. Uh-huh. The only way to watch it was essentially if you paid for it. Like some, I don't want to call it a pay-per-view in a Hawaii football game, but you had to access the channel that they're on, and you had to buy it.
You bought it, didn't you?
No, I have ways around that.
Okay.
truth be told, I wanted to stay up and watch Hawaii, but I was just gassed for Saturday. I hung out with some friends and finally got out of the house and did
something.
I'll
be damned if I give you a penny.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, back to school today, kids.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
Damn.
Back to school today, kids.
See, you're coaching still. I don't know this stuff because, you know, obviously, if you weren't coaching, I'm not sure you'd have your ear to the ground here and know, like, hey, everybody's going back to school because you have a busy life just like I do. But as soon as you said it, I went, damn, it's the end of August.
It's that time of the year. It's the 26th. Also, my cousin's birthday, Nikki LaShawn. Happy birthday to you.
I was going to say happy birthday first, Nikki.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. We give out shovels at 6:45. We'll do a bright and early on this Monday morning to get you started. But on the other side, a weekend of Orioles baseball against the Houston Astros. Orioles baseball up next on The Fan.
The Big Bang.
Update from the yard. Brought to you by LifeMed Institute. Guys, regain confidence and performance in the bedroom with GainsWave therapy at LifeMed Institute. GainsWave is a revolutionary non-invasive ED treatment. Call 410-575-1200 or go to LifeMedInstitute.com to find out more.
On 105.7 The Fan.
Rankman drives this one left field. That's pretty well struck. Slater back, and that one is gone. Alex Bregman will touch them all. And the Astros have retaken the lead. It is 4-3. Bregman with number 21.
That's courtesy of ESPN. And I hate the series ended on that note because it was a dramatic weekend at the yard, starting with Friday. After losing 6-0, and looked like they would go down 0-2 in the series, Colton Kowser, on a ground ball back to the pitcher, takes too big of a lead going home. Instead of the pitcher going for the easy out with the lead, he throws back to third. Kowser slips in under the tag. Bases loaded. Anthony Santander swung at a pitch that the K-zone wasn't big enough for.
It was like, what was it, A League of Their Own, the little sister. I like the high ones. Stop swinging at. Oh, there it goes.
He went the opposite of Vladimir Guerrero. You know how Vladimir Guerrero Sr. used to hit him off the dirt?
Yeah.
He went one. Wasn't it last week that the highest pitch of the season was hit for a home run, like 4'9" or something, whatever, early this late last week?
Yep. That
was more than 4'9".
I think they said it was 6.
Yeah.
So, like, you think about his reaction. It was almost like he walked up to the plate and, you know, The Secret? Was that the name of the book where it's Power of Positive Thinking? Like, I'm just going to go up here and hit a grand slam. And then he willed that crap to happen. And I almost just said something else. Like, that was one of the more amazing things to look at that. Like, any other moment you're yelling at him for swinging at that pitch, because you don't usually catch up to those high ones to do that.
He went up to the plate with violence in his heart, man. And you know what? For those of you that were upset with the New York Mets for their celebrating, Anthony Santander did that on Friday.
Yeah.
He hit the home run, threw the bat, looked into the dugout and said, let's go, with veins popping out of his neck. It took a while before he hit first base. You know why? Because he's having fun. It's sports, man.
I'm glad you said that, because we do get caught up in our own feelings when guys celebrate.
Yeah.
Because it's baseball. In football, we don't say anything. In basketball, you can give them the too little sign or whatever.
That's why growing up, people didn't like baseball. It was a cathedral sport. It's not that. You go, dude, I went to Puerto Rico once during the playoffs. We didn't know it was a playoff. We just went to Puerto Rico. There were parades in the street leading to the stadium for the playoffs, Jeremy. They have fun.
Mm-hmm. There's nothing, like, I do think there's excessive things that you can do, but you hit a big home run. You get a big strikeout in a key situation. Even if you get a double play when I've seen guys come into the game, no outs, bases loaded, get the pop-up on the infield, the double play, and then you watch them celebrate, man. You just did something amazing.
Act like you did it before. No, act like you might not ever do it again.
Yeah.
That's how I want to act. I love it. And Ben McDonald and I were talking about it on a post-game show on Saturday. When Cano strikes a pose on you, stares you down, I just struck your ass out.
Yeah.
I like it. Show some emotion, man. Anyway, they went on Friday night, 7-5, being out-hit by the Astros. And then they come Saturday. Let me take you through the sequence there, Jeremy. Orioles just getting, just getting the bat shoved at them. Don't have a lot of hits. And once again, Colton Kowser. Harmless ground ball. Ground ball in the sixth inning.
My favorite play of the weekend.
Hit the first base. It's like halfway there, he looked at the first base, like, okay, you ain't moving quickly? And he just keeps busting it down the line. And I'm like, man, this is going to be a little bit closer than you think.
You remember that, God, what team was it where they showed, I think it was the Cowboys, where the running back, it was Tony Pollard. You see the end zone. You see where the defender is. You're like, oh, my God, he's going to walk into the end zone. When they show that screenshot of Singleton picking the ball up or going to scoop it, and you're looking going, well, wait a minute, he's going. And even Kowser talked about it. Said he knows it's unconventional, but that's a big guy, and he wasn't going to run through him.
Exactly.
So his natural reaction was to slide head first. And
he said he's never done that before.
Yeah. And it just – I love seeing it in the moment, but it was one of those plays that kind of, along with Tony Taters and the Grant, but it just kept you in the game and kept it alive.
And then the manager who can't manage, who the team doesn't play for anymore, decided to bat a guy who was 0 for 20. 0 for 20.
But we're not going to talk about that.
But they don't play for him. He can't manage. Oy. Jackson Holliday comes up and says, thank you. And tattoos one. The three runners score. I don't know how Colton Collins scored on that one. That the ball didn't go that deep.
He must have, like, I got to go back and watch it again to see if, was he running with that pitch?
No, because last, early in the count.
Because last night, Jeremy Pena, we were all watching the game at a fantasy baseball draft. I was like, how the hell did he score from first?
Running on a pitch.
Yeah, and then you go back and look. It's like,
no, oh. this was early in the count, bases loaded.
Yeah.
So there's no way he's running, unless you're still at home.
Yeah.
he's not running. And this is, and they score, and you got guys dancing outside of the dugout, pumped up, and you had a feeling, Jeremy, you had that feeling, even though it was the sixth inning, they're not losing this game.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't care what the lead is right now. They're not losing this game. And I got one word for you. Suarez.
Guy's good. He still ain't. Look.
5 2/3, 2 earned runs, 4 hits.
Your ass still ain't starting a playoff game for
five
you.
And two-thirds, 2 earned runs, Jeremy.
Mm-mm.
Jeremy, he's giving up.
I will die on this hill. You need him in the bullpen.
Somebody last four me, starts, he's giving up 2 runs, Jeremy.
He's been really good, man. And look, there's no denying it. It's a small sample size, but I'll take it. You got a chance to see him for the whole year to see what he's capable of doing. We've seen the good and the bad, but I got to be honest, most of it's been good. I just don't, what's the right word? Believe it. You see it and you're going, how the hell, because time after time, you'll look up and he's got 2 guys on base with 1 out, 2 guys on base with no outs, and he'll get out of it, or he'll give up the 1 run. He'll get the double play. I don't know how many damn double plays I saw in games this weekend where I'm watching going, that guy needs a double play, and by God, he's going to get it. But, like, hats off to him, man. And, you know, it just goes back to this. We have such an angry fan base, and I don't know why it is. Is it because we haven't experienced winning the way you want? Is it because we don't even know how to win?
I think so.
Because, like, I don't know how many people tag me when something goes wrong. They, you know, you see Norby hit a home run. You see Norby do this. You see that. You watch Trevor Rogers, who got annihilated at AAA and just looked awful. And then fans are like, oh, they gave up this, they gave up. And I get it. You can be in your feelings. It doesn't make you right. But the fact of the matter is, it's still effing early for all this. And oh, by the way, the trades the Orioles made, they didn't give up anything right now. That's all the things they gave up were pieces that they could give up to better the team for now.
So did you see this thing over the weekend where, I think it was Friday, where Peter Schmuck said, the way they're playing, there's a chance they don't make the playoffs. Did you see this?
No.
Well, a friend of mine told me, and I didn't see it, that it was produced by Schmuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him it was the most absolutely ridiculous thing that I've ever heard. And he says, well, that's what everybody's been talking about it. About what? I'm not making the playoffs. I said, no, I don't have heard anybody talk about it. A team that's right now 99.4% chance of making the playoffs, I've heard no one speak about this.
So when are we going to
collapse? But you'd rather talk about that because it's just, to me, man, I just, it's some of the most asinine fans here, man. Seriously. 99.4% chance of making the playoffs, yet we want to talk about the 0.6% chance they have of not making it. So in order to not make the playoffs, you got to go look at the wild card. All the teams that have to leapfrog the Orioles, they have to fall behind Minnesota, who they're 3 games up on. And 3 games up on Kansas City. They had to fall behind Boston, who had 4.5 games up. Seattle, who's 6.5 games up. Those are the candidates. Unless you want Tampa in there, who's 7 games back. They have to finish in 4th place amongst wild card teams. And they're 3 games up on a team that's behind them.
I'm tired of trying to make it make sense for people. Like, and they do the same thing every time, and this is what kills me. It's like, you bash the team. And I'm not saying they don't deserve to be bashed at times. Like, everybody gets upset. You're watching the game, you see them on a slide, and you're going, come on, man, how are they playing like this? You're making error. You see Gunner throw one away. You watch a pitcher come in the bullpen and give it up. Hell, if it's Craig Kimbrel, it's usually happening. But, you know, you look at those things and get upset.
Here it is. Pondering the possibility of a playoff-free October for Baltimore Orioles. by Peter Schmuck. It's not even worth writing. I love Peter Schmuck.
I do too.
But that's not even worth writing.
Well, you know,
it's not even worth writing. It's clickbait.
But you said it. That's what this day and age is, because there's more of a shot. They have a better shot of winning the World Series than missing the playoffs. Everybody understand that? They have a better shot of doing that. Like, for them to miss the playoffs, everything has to go wrong. They're not missing the playoffs. You can record this.
99.4% chance right now of them making the playoffs.
I was just talking to somebody else, and they're like, oh, Boston's going to catch us. Boston just got swept by Arizona. Nobody is playing phenomenal baseball except for the Astros right now, and you just split with them.
Shovels at 6:45, but on the other side, with Burns' recent struggles, is it becoming more clear that the O's need to let him walk and to hold on to Santander? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Yeah, he's incredibly steady for us. He's hit a lot of big homers in his career. There's a real slow heartbeat at the plate. And those kind of situations, we have as a club try to do way too much and try to get the big hit and try to. And Tony's just got a ton of confidence because of his experience and doesn't let the game get too fast for him. So he's able to take good at bats in those kind of situations.
He is having a phenomenal season right now. Anthony Santander. I love the way Brendan High calls him Tony. He's having a great. Well, also. Ben McDonald, Tony Titters.
I feel like Tony's walking up to the plate like D'Lo Brown. Shoulder, just gonna look at this is my contract year. Look at what I'm doing. Yeah. And man, he is killing it.
OPS of 821, 38 home runs, 86 RBI. He's going to have 40 and 100. He has a chance for 40 and 100. That'd be a phenomenal season. And we talked about this last week, and I compared him to Nelson Cruz in that you may call him a late bloomer. The power came late. Nelson Cruz didn't have his first 30 home run season until he was 28. Santander was 27 when he had his. And, you know, the question is, who do you pay? Now, Jeremy, I gave you my point last week. I love Corbin Burns, and I would love to have him back. But when you suggested Santander could soon be on his way down because he's hitting 30, mm-hmm. Well, I'll give you your reach. You're speculating. I'm going to give you evidence. Corbin Burns every year has had more strikeouts than any pitch. 2021, it was 234 strikeouts to 167 innings pitched. He won the Cy Young that year. All right, so you got the scale is really tipped towards strikeouts. Then that scale came a little bit even the next year. It was 243 when he led the league to 202 innings pitched. Last year, it was 200 strikeouts. Strikeouts coming down to 193 and two-thirds innings pitched. So those strikeouts to innings pitch getting closer and closer, Jeremy. Now this year, it's 146 strikeouts and 159 in the third innings pitched. Am I saying that he's losing it? No, I'm not. But what Corbin Burns is finding out right now is how to get outs without the strikeout. Maybe that's why he struggled the last two outings.
Yeah. No, I could definitely see that. And, you know, as we've talked about too, the one thing I don't want to do is have a knee-jerk reaction of something that's happened. But now you have three starts in a row. His last start wasn't terrible, but you were kind of hoping he was going to jump out and shut down this Astros lineup and show you he's back. I was even doing the national radio show, and one of the guys came on and said, what do I know about Corbin Burns? After he has a bad outing like he had before, he comes in and just shuts it down. And I think the old Corbin Burns usually does that. We don't know about this one now. And then the other thing I'd have to say with what you're talking about and who are you going to keep, what are you going to do? And they may not keep either one of them, which is going to upset everybody. But the Corbin Burns thing, if you do let him walk, you get a first-round pick back. You're going to get a first-round pick for Colton Cowser and the Rookie of the Year, and you have your first-round pick already. And on top of it, if you and I'm not saying this is what I want, but if you give Santander the qualifying offer.
He doesn't take it.
And he doesn't take it, you'll get a pick back for that. I don't know where that pick will be, but with the way he's playing, I assume it'll be a decent.
And you know damn well he's not taking the qualifying offer. He's not taking that.
No, he shouldn't. But the Orioles should offer it no matter what.
I want them to re-sign Santander. I would love for them to re-sign Burns. And maybe with Burns' numbers being what they are, but I just think that his agent is going for blood this year because he lost last year, and that's Scott Boras.
Yep.
Scott Boras is going for blood. Scott Boras lost two battles last year in free agency. They don't like that.
Yeah, well,
either this is a trend and baseball is getting back to more reasonable, which I doubt, or Scott Boras is going to get some money for Corbin Burns.
Can we also go back to this because we've brought this up numerous times, and I know, like I was saying to you, I said I'm kind of mad at people because I can't even get mad in certain situations. I feel like the dad. I'll give you the perfect example. I got separated from my ex-wife,
right?
And my ex-wife was super nice to the kids, always cared about the kids. She's great with them, but I felt like I had to be more of an authoritarian at home to kind of even that out. You know what I mean? Like I had to be, I don't want to say like, I didn't treat them bad, but I was a little bit more strict in my house.
Right.
Kind of like what my dad, like same thing when I was a kid. My mom, hey, it's party time, going to dad's, you better button it up. You know, so like those types of things. And I just feel like people come to me all the time and go, how come they haven't offered these guys any contracts? And I'm like, how do you know they haven't?
Yeah.
And he goes, well, we haven't signed them. And I was trying to explain, or at least, I hate saying explain, like talk to guys last night about, okay, they have made offers. We've heard they've made offers. But if you're Boras and you have Gunner, do you want to accept something now?
No.
Or do you want to wait and have them compete against the Yankees, the Dodgers, exactly, the Mets, everybody else?
Listen, if I'm an agent, I'm not worried about the fans. I'm not worried about the team. And I'm worried about the client. I represent the client.
And people point out Bobby Witt, and he signed a very favorable deal. He got rid of some of his arbitration years, but also they offered it. This would have been like offering it to Gunner after his, you know, getting close to that Rookie of the Year and saying, okay, let's offer him a contract extension now and get rid of the arbitration years. He still may not have taken that because Bobby Witt was hitting, but he wasn't hitting like he is now.
And his dad is agent also? I think his dad is his agent.
What, Bobby Witt Sr.?
Yeah, I think his dad is his agent.
So
let's go out to the phone lines now. Let's go to Dave, who's on the road. Dave, what's up, Dave?
Morning, guys. How you doing this morning?
Doing good. Well. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I called last week about this topic, and I was all for signing Burns. I think I might change my mind, though. I think these last couple outings of Burns have sort of said maybe it's not quite as good to sign him as opposed to Santander. And as far as your point about his age, Rob, I remember a team that said they were going to trade somebody to the Orioles, and they called him an old 30. We know what happened there.
Frank Robinson, that's right.
That's right. That's right.
There you go. Hey, thanks a lot, my man. 410-583-1057. You know, I gave the old Nelson Cruz. That's a good one there, too, Frank Robinson. I'm not saying he's either one of them, but good comparisons. Let's go to Benjamin in Woodlawn. What's up, Benjamin?
Hey, good morning to you, fellas. I mean, it's an obvious choice. We'll never spend money like the Dodgers or the Yankees. So, if I had to pick one, it's going to be Tony Cater. And
now, would you have picked that 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Okay.
I still would.
Okay.
Because as Jeremy said, the plus is you get a first round pick, and there's still a slight small chance. Let's say the Milkman gets Rookie of the Year. You get another high pick for that.
He's the favorite for that too right now, Benjamin. So that's the opportunity. By the way, Octagon Baseball. And his dad is with Octagon Baseball and is his son's advisor. So, essentially, yes, his dad is his agent. Let's go to Rashawn in Baltimore. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, man. How are you?
Hey, man. I'm all right, man. I'm glad we stole two of them games, man. I ain't going to lie. I was down there Friday night, and I left when it was like 4-2, right? I was like, man, I ain't sitting here for this. Plus, Rita was having a party that night. And she was like, you know, all my friends, you better get down there. I was like, man, let me go down there and get my pick of the litter first, you know. You know how them guys, you know, man, you know. But anyway.
Pick of the litter.
No, I got down there, man, and you had the game on. And what's the guy that, Glenn was like, you see what's going on? Like what? Like the bass is loaded, Santana was up, man. I was like, man, ain't no way, man. I was like, man, you know how these guys is. We're leaving runners in scoring position. Yo, hit that grand slam, man. We went crazy in there. I was like, what? I was like, man, we got to pay this guy. I remember early on in the season, right, Bob Haney was talking. He was like, man, I give Santana a 3-year, $60 million contract. No. I was like, man, you crazy, man. I ain't giving him that, man. And I was against it. With that now, with that price, he'll probably let his agent to laugh at us with 3 years, $60 million.
He's going. I don't see him signing for less than 4 years. I don't. I mean, if at 30 years old, you're not doing yourself any justice. You don't want to go back out in free agency at 33.
I don't mean to say it like this, but he's the consolation prize for any team that can't afford Juan Soto.
He is. You know? And because of that, I'm not signing.
And I think there'll be more people in on him because they can't afford Juan Soto. They can't afford Santander, even though it'll be a nice contract for him.
What's trending with college football at 7 o'clock? But on the other side, we're giving out shovels, Jeremy Kahn.
Yeah, I got to give out shovels. We're going back to driving. Had my sister and her boyfriend came to town and stayed with me this weekend. And her boyfriend's like, they were talking about how he doesn't get road rage. Well, he got road rage in Maryland, so we're going to talk about what goes on here. My shovel's going to some of these drivers.
If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Shovels next.
The biggest idiots deserve the big, bad shovel of wisdom. Sponsored by Jerry's Toyota.
And their exclusive benefits, including free service maintenance for 4 years or 50,000 miles. Visit Jerry's Toyota just north of the Beltway on Bel Air Road and online at jerrystoyota.com.
105.7 The Fan.
Time to give out shovels. If you have a shovel, give us a call. Give us a text, 410-583-1057. Hit us up on Twitter, at BBMS1057 The Fan. Who gets your shovel this morning, Jeremy?
Maryland drivers. So, yeah, my sister and her boyfriend came up from North Carolina, and they were driving up here, and they were like, I can't stand it here because of how people drive, from the people getting all the way into the passing lane and going below the speed limit, which you guys are a-holes if you're doing that, to people just getting, like, I'll give you the three instances I had this weekend. Yesterday, all three of them happened yesterday. I was driving, and somebody got over from the far right lane to the left-hand lane and cut me off. And I'm going, okay, they probably want to get over to the fast lane, or they want to, you know, they want to...
Right.
Nope. They stayed there for the next 5 miles.
Wow.
Just cut me off and stayed there. Last night, driving in my fantasy football draft, as I'm going in, if anybody that knows, like, 24, you know how, like, you go out to Harford County, you have that 24 and then the 924. So there's this long lane, maybe about a mile long, where you can't get over in either. You can only get over in each lane, but there's no reason to get over because there's no lights to turn to. There was a girl that started going 30 miles an hour to try to get into the right-hand lane. When it doesn't matter which lane you're in, there's no, like, even if you wanted to get over, turn your signal on, drive the same speed limit, and there's plenty of room to get over. Why are you stopping in the middle of the road? I had a guy try to back down on Boston Street, getting on 895. Some idiot drove all the way up, and it had 7 cars behind him and proceeded to go in reverse around the ramp to come back down. That's a you problem, a-hole. It's not our problem for you to back up because you made a wrong turn. And then lastly, I talk about it all the time. Why are we breaking in the tunnel? Like, for the life of me, I'll never understand this. I went 25 miles an hour through the tunnel. You would have thought there was an accident on the other side.
Was not.
For how slow we're... As soon as we get to the other side, everybody takes off. It's 50 miles an hour in there. I'm not telling you got to go 50. I'm telling you not to go 25. It's unbelievable how many people start tapping those brakes when they get in the tunnel. If you're scared of the tunnel, say you're scared. Go another way. If you're scared of bridges... Go another way. Find something to do because this is BS, man, and it drives me insane. And my favorite part about this is my sister was talking about how her boyfriend doesn't have road rage. Like, somebody will cut him off and North Carolina will keep driving. He got here and he was like, these some bitches make me lose my mind.
My shovel goes to people looking for a scapegoat. I got this. This is just an example. I got this over the weekend. Over the weekend. I think this season the Orioles need to retool their pitching coach staff. He goes on to talk about the injuries. Orioles have a lot of injuries in the pitching staff. They do, no doubt about it. But here's the problem, folks. Jeremy, I think sometimes people get taken back or appalled when we counter what they say because they want us to always agree with what they say. But here's my problem with that. If I agree with what you said, knowing that it's not the case, then I lose my credibility with others who watch baseball.
Yeah.
I stopped at 150, and I didn't count all the teams. I literally went through the injury report. There are over 150 pitchers on the injury report, and I stopped at 150 because I got tired of counting. It's not an Oreo problem. It's a baseball problem. To suggest that injuries is a reason to retool your pitching coaching staff, it's a baseball problem. It's not an Oreo problem. Jeremy, I stopped at 150. I think I had 7 or 8 teams left.
It just so happens that we've had more to that. You know, when you start looking at it, maybe we've had more than other teams to that position.
No, but somebody had 10.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, you might be in the top 5, but, like, there are other teams that are right there along with. Don't even talk to the Braves about injuries, especially to pitchers.
It's a baseball epidemic, man. And they did an entire story on it.
Yeah.
On MLB Network.
What is it with people? Like, people get really upset. Like, I try to do this thing where I'm like, I basically turned into like the Trevor Rogers defender because everybody's saying that trade was bad, and it may just be bad. But people realistically don't look at what was there. Like, they didn't value Norby and Stowers the way that you guys did because you listened to about them all this time, and now you're seeing Norby hit. Stowers went down there and struck out 18 times in his first 40 at-bats.
Yeah.
You know, and does that mean that Stowers is going to be a bad major league player? No, it's too small of a sample size. Norby hitting back-to-back home runs, having more hits yesterday than the Orioles did. He had 3, they had 2. All those things. Does that mean he's going to be a superstar? No.
He's going to be good. He's going to be good.
But he was blocked here.
Yeah.
And people can say what they want. You valued, and who knows what would have happened in a Rule 5 draft with who they were going to lose.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, some of that stuff just drives me insane that people won't look at it that way. And it's like, oh, you got a pitcher that's under control, but he sucks. Yeah, he sucks now, but how many pitchers did you have under control going into next season? Not a lot.
Let's go to Kevin at Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Morning, fellas. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. So I want to give a shovel to first Rob. She had the sundress on. She had the toes painted, everything. I haven't been to no games in 12 years. We go to get an adult beverage. The price is what it is there. I get 2 beers, and they're piss warm, Rob. Oreo party, Kevin Yards. Y'all get my shovel, dude.
Warm beer. Wow. Let's go to Chris in Parkville. What's up, Chris?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, good. Hope everyone's doing good. My shovel goes to the people that want to can Brandon Hyde. Pitchers don't grow on trees. People got to realize that.
I don't understand it either, Chris. I don't.
he's the easy scapegoat because, again, this is like going forward on fourth down. We don't talk about it when they get it. We don't talk about when he pinch hits and it works out or he pulls a pitcher and it works out. We only talk about it when he's wrong. That's how it works. I mean, whether people want to say it or not, like you just gave a couple examples.
Yeah.
People are. I guarantee people are going, man, you got lucky. You know what he was doing. What are you talking
about?
About
was 0 for 20?
Yeah.
Let's go to Greg and Dundalk, who has something on the tunnel. What's up, Greg?
Morning, guys. Jeremy, I agree with you with the tunnel. I never can understand. I used to take the Key Bridge, and I miss that thing. And the second thing is, you got to get off the phones. That's who gets my shovel. Get off the phone.
I had somebody driving home from work on Friday, 30 miles an hour in the fast lane, and you could tell what was going on. They're reading their texts as their head's down, and then all of a sudden, then they're going 60, and you're going, what the hell's going on? Then they're back down to 30.
Yeah.
They're just reading their phone.
Yeah. Evan Washburn, I'm sorry, joins us at 7:30, so don't go anywhere. Can't miss that. But on the other side, what's trending? For all of you who protected Florida State last year, we're going to talk about it up next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.